Good afternoon. Hope you're having a good Sabbath. You know, most, if not all of us, know that this is not the only time of salvation. We know that it's not super duper clear in the Bible, but it is clear. And it's interesting to me how people don't think about the fact of down through the past 6,000 years, most people, many people, have never even heard the name of Christ. And it is a time of salvation for some. God sees to it that, in my opinion, every decent person eventually will be saved. Are there some people that are never going to be decent? We don't know. We don't know. And God can do whatever he wants to do. He won't take free will away, but he can do what he knows to do, and he knows how to handle people. The that particular truth is really obvious. Today I want to talk about culture. I know it's a big topic, very big topic, but it's a very important topic. I remember about 40 plus years ago talking with a minister about culture. I won't mention his name. Very smart man. And I don't remember much about the conversation, but we talked about culture, and towards the end of the conversation, he mentioned, well, culture is very hard to change. And I understood what he meant. Culture is hard to change. But as I think we all realize, once Christ comes back, once God's government is set up, the culture, it won't be right away, but the culture will change dramatically. And culture is very important. I think we all know what the word culture means. I won't get too much into it. But it actually covers, culture actually covers all aspects of life. The way we think, the way we talk, the way we dress, the songs that we sing, entertainment, just virtually every aspect of life is covered by the word culture. And so it's very important. You know, we've all heard, probably all have heard, don't believe me, believe the Bible. And we all know what that means. Don't believe me, believe the Bible. And I guess God could come back and say, believe me, and you better do what I say. That's God's way of handling things. We have to know that God knows what's right, what's wrong, and he wants us to learn that particular lesson. It's very important. Culture has a large, incredibly large influence on all of society. You know, I'll just mention a few other things about culture. You know, every family, every group, every political party, every church, everything has a culture. In a real sense, even human beings, one individual has a culture. The way they think, the way they talk, the way they dress, what they do, what they don't do. Culture is incredibly pervasive. And it's important to realize that, because it can be changed. And most people in a culture, I'll say this, they don't really see the culture that well. They're too part of it. So that's one of the reasons, one of many reasons why culture is hard to change. It is very, very hard to change. Again, it can be changed. You know, in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, I won't read it, but it describes seven churches. And it has some good things about almost all of them, and a few things about it that they need to correct, or they move their culture in a negative way in Revelation 2 and 3. And we all can realize that our culture can change for the good or for worse. It's important to realize that. You know, the apostles, when Paul first came into the church, I'll just read what I have here. I want to make this point pretty clear. These men learned much, the apostles, through their mistakes and by being with Christ. After 3.5 years, we all know what a couple of the mothers said about a couple of the apostles. Well, can they sit on your right and your left hand? After 3.5 years of basically living with Christ, they were saying that. Now, they didn't have God's Spirit at the time, but that is amazing. It was only because they were able to rise above pride, competition, and seniority that they could perceive Paul's calling and anointing. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. I don't have time to read these scriptures. If you want to, go ahead and read them. And can we discern when a person has a calling to lead or do? We simply measure by natural qualifications for acceptance of the Lord's servants. You know, when Moses, right before he died, God told him he wasn't going to go into the promised land. And the reason was, one of the reasons, he struck the rock, didn't he? God said, don't do it. Don't do that way. Just say it. But Moses struck it. And it's fairly clear, you know, Moses clearly is going to be a first fruit. Fairly clear, he had to struggle with an anger problem. And you can kind of understand it when you have to deal with human beings. Whenever you have a large number of human beings, a leader can deal with anger. It's just the way it is. Even in a family, a big family especially, you're always going to have some friction in the relationships. Very few exceptions to that. Every family has some dysfunction. And so it's important to realize that. And even David, a man after God's own heart. He didn't have God's own heart, he was after it. But God said, well, you're not going to build a temple. You're a bloody man, so you're not going to build the temple. He had Solomon build it. So, you know, God's word is very, very important. Every single word, God says, live by every word of God. And that includes not only his speaking, but it includes what is in his word. Every word. And some of those words are hard to understand, but we can see that Satan is incredibly clever, very clever in his deceptions, in his ability to convince people of things that are not correct, that things that are not godly. And so we have disagreement. And Satan knows how to play those disagreements big time. He just does. So it's very important to realize that even regarding, let me read again something I have here about Joseph. Joseph, again, a very righteous man at the end of his age. He was a very perceptive and prophetic young boy. God gave him certain prophecies. But, however, not yet learned a discernment. He telling his dreams to his brother in Genesis chapter 37, verse 5, telling his dream about them bowing down to him, to his brothers, let's just say it was real stupid. Can we say that? He was a young man. He didn't have that discernment that he had later on in life. But he learned it. He learned it after much testing. Only after his pride and presumption were dealt with? Was he able to discern the Lord's way? Again, there are just so many lessons in the Bible about people learning their lessons. After we've lived a long time, there are many, many lessons that we've learned. As you get a little older, like I am, you forget half of them. Hopefully you don't. Write them down. But we learn lessons as we live. We learn what's right. We learn what's good. We learn, hopefully we're learning wisdom and discernment and understanding of how to treat people. And most people are decent people. But we're all deceived to a certain extent in certain areas. And we've got to realize that. We've got to understand that God wants us to look at his word, slowly read his word, read the principles, read the laws, get on the internet maybe, get a good book and read a little bit more about that particular principle or perspective that God is bringing out. None of us have the ability to think of all the different aspects of every aspect, of every principle, of every law that God provides in his word. We have to go to other sources. We have to talk to people. We have to discuss. And even after that, we might not get it completely right. So we have to realize that human beings are always, they're always having to learn. Always having to learn. And it's so important to realize that no matter how long we've been in the church, there's always things we just don't know about how God wants us to treat people. And every commandment of the Ten Commandments is really about relationship. You know, it's just about relationship. You know, putting God first. You know, we've kind of said over the years that the first four are about God. Well, it is about God, but it's also about putting people first, putting God's principles. And if we're looking to God, if we're seeking his way of life first in a diligent way, we are going to learn to grow in grace and in knowledge. And we have to do that if we're going to grow. You know, grace has several different meanings. In that particular context, it means we're learning to be more gracious to people. We're learning to treat people in a godly way. And so God wants us to do that. He wants us to learn that. And again, as you get older, it might be a good idea to write it down because you're going to forget some of them.